This morning I invite you to turn with me in your Bibles to the Gospel according to Luke. Luke chapter 7, beginning at verse 36, page 1099 in the Pew Edition Bible. Luke 7, beginning at verse 36, and I'll read through the end of the chapter. One of the Pharisees asked him to eat with him, and he went into the Pharisee's house and took his place at the table. And behold, a woman of the city who was a sinner, when she learned that he was reclining at table in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of ointment. And standing behind him at his feet, weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head and kissed his feet and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would have known who and what sort of woman this is who is touching him, for she is a sinner." And Jesus answering, said to him, "Simon, I have something to say to you." And he answered, "Say it, teacher." A certain moneylender had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. When they could not pay, he canceled the debt of both. "Now which of them will love him more?" Simon answered, "The one, I suppose, for whom he canceled the larger debt." And he said to him, "You have judged rightly." Then turning toward the woman, he said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but from the time I came in, she has not ceased to kiss my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she has anointed my feet with ointment. Therefore, I tell you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But he who is forgiven little, loves little." And he said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." Then those who were at the table with him began to say among themselves, "Who is this? Who even forgives sins?" And he said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." Here ends the reading of God's word. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our Lord endures forever. Would you please keep your Bibles open to our scripture passage this morning? Let's join together in prayer. Father in heaven, would you teach us by means of your word and spirit the true meaning of thankfulness and devotion, of love that abounds, of love that recognizes the grace that has been given through our Lord Jesus Christ. Bless then the preaching of the word to that end. May it glorify our Lord Jesus Christ, and may it fill our hearts with joy, we pray, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, I want to speak to you this morning about a party crasher. And not just any party crasher, but an excruciating moment for a man named Simon the Pharisee. Someone once said that appreciating this story, as in many of Luke's stories in this gospel account, is similar to appreciating a fine work of art. If you look at a majestic painting, for example, you can focus on the individual characters or parts of that painting. You can look at the interaction, the composition, the technique used by the artist, or the overall message that's being conveyed through that piece of art. So it is with the story of Simon the Pharisee, a woman who's unnamed, and Jesus. To focus especially upon the contrast between the Pharisee and the woman, and what that says about the message of the gospel, what it says about the kingdom of Jesus Christ that he is ushering in. What does that kingdom look like? How does that kingdom function? How does one enter into the kingdom? It's an excruciating moment for Simon the Pharisee. He's embarrassed. He's upset. He's angry at the events that have taken place. And the woman who's unnamed, this party crasher, she acts in ways that are scandalous. But she, by contrast to Simon, she leaves happy, overwhelmed with joy. This is a story of how great love for God and gratitude for God comes into being. How does it originate? Where does it spring from? It springs from a heart that recognizes and embraces the grace of God in Jesus Christ. It challenges us. I'll be very brief this morning, but it challenges us to think about this question. What was behind the different responses? What accounts for the way Simon acts to the situation and the way that the woman acts? Why is it that their responses to Jesus are so different? That contrast is worthy of our consideration on this Thanksgiving Day. To ask ourselves, do we understand the true nature of gratitude? First of all, the character Simon. Simon the Pharisee, that automatically puts him in a class of people. He's among the elite among Jewish society. He's learned. He's sophisticated. He's respectable, but he's self-righteous, isn't he? He does things properly. In fact, we get the sense, don't we, that he routinely invites people to his home, important people, or people he wants to know more about. He entertains. He likes choosing fine food. He pays attention to detail, doesn't he? He's upright. He's formal. He's restrained. He's a man of self-discipline. He's known and respected within the community as someone who's upright. He's respectable, but he's self-righteous. He sees himself in relation to God as one who has done his best to uphold the law. And because of that, he finds favor with God, so he thinks. And in terms of his relationship with Jesus, he's interested in Jesus. He has a certain curiosity about Jesus that he wants to entertain and indulge, but he's not committed. He doesn't understand the nature of this kingdom that Jesus has come to bring to bear upon the earth. He invites people to his home for parties, but he doesn't like to create scenes. And this woman has embarrassed him. He's intrigued by Jesus' ministry, but he is appalled. He is deeply offended by Jesus' action, particularly towards that woman. Do you understand why? The story tells us here in the narrative that Jesus was quite adept, wasn't he? Isn't it remarkable how Jesus can gravitate towards one section of society and at the same time minister effectively to the other? He can talk to people on the street, people who are outcasts. He can touch the lepers. He can minister among people who other people want nothing to do with. While at the same time, he can receive an invitation and he can go into the house of an esteemed theologian, professor, at least someone who is knowledgeable in the law, someone who is in a position of authority in the Jewish community. He's very adept at ministering to all types of people. And it was the custom in that day, of course. Private life was much different. You didn't close your doors. You didn't say, this is a party only for these people on the guest list. All others are to stay outside. No, in that day, it was common for doors to be open and for people to wander in and out of people's homes, believe it or not. And this gave opportunity for a certain woman to enter. And she's described as a sinner. Most likely she was a prostitute at one time. And we also know that she had had a previous encounter with Jesus and had heard the message of forgiveness, of repentance and faith and restoration, of entering into the kingdom of God by turning to Jesus and believing on him. And she has come to express her gratitude and her love, her devotion to Jesus. Simon does not understand this sort of thing. He's amused by Jesus, intrigued, maybe later on even annoyed and irritated by Jesus. But that devotion, that love, that utter expression of gratitude, he knows nothing of that. And of course, in that day, you didn't sit at a table to eat your meal. You reclined. You reclined with your feet extending away from the table. And as Jesus is reclining at the table with Simon the Pharisee, what does this woman do? She bursts forth in tears. She weeps uncontrollably. As I said, she's most likely, or was most likely, a prostitute. And you ought not to be thinking of Julia Roberts in Pretty Woman, sophisticated, wearing the nicest clothes. Now, this is a woman most likely who had been caked with cheap cosmetics. There was a pungent aroma from her perfume. This is a woman who had been exploited by men in particular. This is a woman who was treated with contempt by her society. And she makes her way to Jesus reclining at the table. And she begins to weep. She weeps because she recognizes what Jesus had done earlier in granting pardon to her. And the crying is so profuse that she actually lets down her hair to wipe his feet. That was scandalous, you understand, in that day. For a woman to let down her hair, socially, that was the equivalent of a woman going topless. I'll put it that way. It was that risque. And she begins to wipe his feet. And Simon is appalled by this. What sort of a person does this in my home? He shows nothing but contempt for this woman. Like someone who has stepped on something disgusting and wants to wipe it off their feet. What we see in the story very clearly is that Simon is wrong about Jesus. He says to himself, by the way, you notice verse 39, if this man were a prophet, he would have known who and what sort of woman this is who is touching him, for she is a sinner. It was well known in the community. This was a woman who was considered immoral and outside proper society. If Jesus had been a prophet, he would have steered clear of this woman. He's wrong about the woman. And wrong about Jesus. He's wrong about Jesus because he doesn't understand the nature of Jesus' ministry. Jesus, who had said, I've not come to heal those who think themselves well. I've come to heal those who are sick. I've come to seek and to save the lost. I've not come to build up those who are self-righteous and self-satisfied. He's wrong about Jesus, Simon is, because he doubts that Jesus is even a prophet. Because a prophet wouldn't act that way. A prophet wouldn't tolerate that. And a prophet would know to steer clear of a woman like that. But he's also wrong about the woman, isn't he? He focuses upon what she was before she had met Jesus rather than what she has become. She has become, by the grace of Jesus Christ, a new creation. The old order of things has passed away. He does not see what the gospel has done, what the kingdom of Jesus Christ has brought about in her life. All he sees is this disgusting prostitute who has ruined his party. The woman is not respectable. She's not self-righteous. But she is utterly devoted to Jesus. Jesus, as the true prophet, discerns what goes on in Simon's mind. He says, Simon, I have something to say to you. And he tells the story. Even though Simon hasn't blurted out what he thinks about this woman, it's become apparent to Jesus what his evaluation is of that woman. He says, Simon, I have a story to tell you. He tells a story about Two debtors. Both are in default. And he says, if both are forgiven, one has a large, substantial debt, the other has a debt that's not as substantial, but both are forgiven. He asks a simple question. Simon, who do you think will be more grateful for that debt being canceled? And there's this icy courtesy about Simon's response. Notice verse 43. He answered, the one, I suppose, for whom he canceled the larger debt. And Jesus said, you have judged rightly. Now, do not draw out of that parable or that response this idea that somehow there are small sinners and there are larger sinners. There are some sins that are less serious than other sins. Both are debtors. Both are unable to pay off the debt. Both will face the consequences of their indebtedness. The difference is their response. The woman, this prostitute, nameless as she is, when she recognizes what the grace of Jesus Christ has done, she bursts forth into tears. Love that's overflowing. It is gratitude incarnate. Because she realizes what's been forgiven. And so it is with us. Our forgiveness will be as real to us as our sins are real to us. What you have here by way of contrast, I think very clearly, is the cool indifference of Simon the Pharisee. When he sees this expression of love and adoration and gratitude, he's put off. He's smug. He's self-righteous. He's embarrassed and wants to get rid of this woman. He's embarrassed and he's upset with Jesus. Why would you bother with a person like that? Meanwhile, the woman cannot control herself. She's passionate. She's adoring. And what does Jesus say? Verse 48. I'll go back to verse 47. Or 46, really. He said to Simon, he said, you know, apparently you don't understand what's going on. You don't understand the actions of this woman. Because by contrast, Simon, when I came to your house, you didn't wash my dirty feet. People in that day were walking on dirty roads. Their feet were caked with dirt and mud. You didn't wash my feet. You didn't give me oil for my head. But do you see this woman? Verse 44, entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet. She has wet my feet with her tears, wiped them with her hair. You gave me no kiss. But from the time I came in, she has not ceased to kiss my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she has anointed my feet with ointment. Therefore, I tell you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. Not because she loved much. That's not what Jesus is saying here. That because she loved much, therefore she's forgiven. But rather, because she has been forgiven, as a consequence of that forgiveness, that grace, that love of Jesus Christ, she has loved much. But he who is forgiven little loves little. Meaning, for Simon, you don't recognize, you don't see the need for the grace of the kingdom of Jesus Christ. You see no need for the forgiveness which only God can grant. You see yourself as pulling yourself up into the kingdom of heaven, establishing your merit on the basis of your own achievement and saying to God, look at what I've accomplished. She loves much because she has been forgiven much. And he said to the woman, your sins are forgiven. And then the response by the onlookers. And I think their response is one of not only puzzlement, but maybe even disgust. They're upset. How dare this Jesus say to the woman, your sins are forgiven? Those at the table, who were at the table with him, began to say among themselves, who is this who even forgives sins? And he said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Someone once said that in the gospel, we recognize that we are more flawed and sinful than we ever believed possible. The grace of God gives us the eyes to see just how serious our predicament is apart from the grace of God. But the gospel is also the recognition that we are more loved and accepted than we ever dared hope for. Which leads me, by way of conclusion, simply to ask this question on this Thanksgiving Day. Do you love much? Is your gratitude in proportion to your recognition of what Jesus Christ has done for you? With whom do you identify in this story? There's a warning here for those of us who would be inclined to see ourselves much more like Simon the Pharisee. Proper, upright, following the rules, doing everything very carefully, and being offended by the act of grace in Jesus' ministry. There's a warning here. Simon does not love much. He's not devoted. He's interested in Jesus. He has questions for Jesus, as many people did in Jesus' day, but he was not devoted to him. He did not love him. He did not weep in gratitude for what Jesus came to do. Or do you see yourself this morning like this nameless woman who, in response to what Jesus had done by way of love and tenderness and compassion and graciousness, when she thought she was the cast-offs of society, that no one loved her, no one cared about, there was no future for her, when she heard the words, "Your sins are forgiven," she weeps. She weeps in gratitude. She weeps in adoration. She is devoted to Jesus, and she worships at his feet. With whom do you identify? The story is that we are to put our faith, we're to place our faith squarely upon Jesus Christ. This tells us something about the nature of the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven is not for the self-righteous and the smug and the self-satisfied. It is for those who are broken and who know that they have no other recourse than a loving and tender Savior. And so on this Thanksgiving Day, I ask you, do you recognize that you have been forgiven much? And therefore, brothers and sisters, will you love much? Let's pray. Our God and Father, we pray that you would drive home the message of this gospel story. It is compelling, it is intriguing, it is humbling to us. Convict us in our hearts, we pray, by your Spirit, that indeed we have, if we believe in Jesus Christ, we have been forgiven much, and therefore what others should see, what we should see in ourselves, is love that has no bounds, gratitude that is inexhaustible. And so, Father, teach us to love the Lord Jesus as this woman loved him. We pray this for Jesus' sake. Amen.